Okay, we're looking at the singing of psalms. And so we really come to the third part of ordinary religious worship, of which there are several parts. Come to the third part, the singing of psalms with grace in the hearts. It's not a very long phrase. Nevertheless, it's a very important subject. Looking at it three ways. Taking that phrase in three ways, we're seeing that singing is an integral part of God's worship, and we saw that. And that we've seen how that singing is to be carried out, that is, with grace in the heart. And now what we're looking at is what it is that we are to sing. And we are to sing psalms, singing psalms. So we're on page 37 of the notes. We're on page 37 then, what it is that we are to sing psalms. And so we said that there's basically two matters that relate to this third point. The first is that psalms are to be sung, and then the second is the question of exclusive psalmody, or whether psalms only are to be sung. The second matter is one much debated in the church, Reformed Church generally, but there has never been any question in the Reformed Church, at least, as to the fact that psalms should be sung. It needs to be emphasized that the church ought to sing psalms in its praise, because there are many evangelical churches that do not. There follows then a list of reasons why we ought to sing psalms. I believe that they're all very valid proofs why the church cannot omit the Psalter from its praise. While the arguments are valid for psalm singing, they are not to be taken as proving the unlawfulness of singing scriptural-based hymns. So while I'm making a case for psalm singing, it's a very strong case, it's easily made, I am not making the case for psalms only singing. And you're not to take from these arguments that it means sing psalms only. There has to be another avenue to go down to deal with that matter. But that we are to sing psalms can be shown. First of all, from Paul's commands concerning singing. Now, we have already noted the two references in his epistles, Colossians 3, verse 16, and Ephesians 5, verse 19. Ephesians 5, 19 is singing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then in Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And he uses the very same expression, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The confession could have said singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your heart, but it only used the one word psalms. But this is what Paul says anyway. He says psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Now there's a debate about what is meant by hymns and spiritual songs. Is it additional to the psalms and the Psalter, or is it just another word for the psalms and the Psalter? There's been a great debate about that there. That debate we're not going into, but suffice to say that it certainly does say psalms. We are to sing psalms. And it also says that we are there at the head of the list. Very often psalms at the bottom of the list in the singing of the church. Here you see that Paul puts it at the head of the list. He puts it at the start, giving a prominence to psalms if they are something that are to be distinguished from hymns and spiritual songs. That command tells us that we are to sing psalms. And then secondly, that we are to sing psalms is pretty evident because we have the psalm book, the Psalter. We have this Psalter in our Bibles. And this Psalter is poetic, it's poetry, and it's obviously a manual of praise. Even a very superficial look at the Psalter, you would know that it is a manual of praise. Yes, it's a prayer book, it's a devotional book, it contains deep theology, but essentially it's lyrical, it's songs, it's hymns. And the fact that a whole book, the central book in the Bible, and the largest book in the Bible, is given to this hymnal, this Psalter. So that should make us think. The fact that it's in the Bible would tell us that we ought to be using it as a songbook. It always was used as a songbook. It's in the Bible for the New Testament saints. Why cannot they continue to use it as a songbook? They should. So it ought to be sung in the congregation because the Holy Spirit has given them as songs. And he's given quite a few of them as well. There are 150 of these psalms. Now, 73 of them are attributed to David. That's about half of them. Probably some more that don't have his name, but certainly 73 have his name. And he was the sweet singer and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we know that he could play on the harp and he was musical, and that he wrote these lyrics, these inspired poetic lines, a song. Many of them are called songs. You see that just if you look at some of the titles very, very quickly. Psalm 75, you'll see that they're called songs. I mean, the word psalm itself would tell you it's a song, because the word psalm gives an idea of something that's put to music. But not only do we have the word psalm, we have the word song very, very often. Psalm 75, we are told there a psalm or song of Asaph. The titles are in Hebrew, and while they're in small print in our Bible, we do take them as part of the text and inspired text. A lot of the words we lost the meaning of. We don't know what they mean. We still keep them, these titles, even though we've lost the meaning of a whole lot of the Hebrew expressions and the Hebrew words. Not even the rabbis know the meanings of some of these words in the titles. But it tells you how old they are, and it tells you also that they certainly belong to the text, that they go way, way back, even before the memories of the rabbis and the later writings, that they've even lost the knowledge of the word. So they're a song. It's a song. Psalm 83, again, a song or psalm of Asaph. Psalm 87, a song or psalm. And then Psalm 88 as well, it says there, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, Psalm 88, and others, many others as well. These titles have musical instruments in them very often, or references to musicians. And some of the words that we don't know what the meaning of they are, the scholars believe that they're names of tunes that they were sung to. So there is reference to music, musicians. For example, in Psalm 88 there, it says it's a song and it's to go to the chief musician. So there is a chief musician in the worship of God, and he gets the text, and it's his job, I suppose, to put it to music. And it says upon Mahalith, and then there's another word there, Leonoth, and that those are probably musical terms, or maybe musical instruments that they were to be put to, or tunes that were to be played with them. He would give a tune and he would give it a name. So this occurs very often. I'm not going to go through all the titles. You can study all the titles, but you'll see the chief musician referred to. You'll see these strange names referred to, which are probably musical terms, and you'll see musical instruments referred to. So very clearly they are songs, and they're to be sung. Sometimes we have the whole group given names, for example, in Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134. We have the Song of Degrees, and we've got 15 of these. They're Songs of Degrees, and I've given a whole list of titles there where you have the idea that they're songs and musical terms, so on and so forth, and you can look through. In fact, you can look at all the titles of the Psalms, and you'll see this yourself. And then if you take the word sing, the verb sing, or if you take the noun song, the various verbs for singing and song in the Hebrew Bible, that 180 times, more than 180 times, they occur in the Psalms. They occur mostly in the Psalms, these verbs and these nouns, 180 times approximately. So again, that's giving you an idea. These are songs. They're crying out to be sung. They must be sung. They're to be sung. That's what they are. It's a hymn book. That's to be noted. Page 38 then. So it's no surprise that when King Hezekiah restored the worship of Judah, you remember the different times whenever the temple worship sort of fell to the side and King came and there was reformation and he restored the worship. Hezekiah is an example of that. And one of the reformations was in the area of singing. He commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord. Notice it. It wasn't just with any kind of words or hymns, but with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And these are the two great authors of the Psalter, Asaph and David. They were both prophets. Prophets very often played music. Very often they prophesied under the influence of music. And very often their prophecies were in poetic form and were to be sung. And Asaph and David, the temple worship was to be restored with the singing of their words. In other words, the Psalter, the psalm book that Hezekiah was very instrumental in piecing together during that time of the Reformation. And largely the Psalter as we have it today has probably come to us through the work of Hezekiah as he's put it all together and collected it for this Reformation worship in the temple.